From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes his series expounding the 53rd chapter of Isaiah as he brings the final portion of a message entitled, The Final Victory of Christ. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, My Choice is His Choice. The text, Psalm 47 and verse 4, He shall choose our inheritance for us. Our enemies would allot us a very dreary portion, but we are not left in their hands. The Lord will cause us to stand in our lot, and our place is appointed by His infinite wisdom. A wiser mind than our own arranges our destiny. The ordaining of all things is with God, and we are glad to have it so. We choose that God should choose for us. If we might have our own way, we would wish to let all things go in God's way. Being conscious of our own folly, we would not desire to rule our own destinies. We feel safer and more at ease when the Lord steers our vessel than we could possibly be if we could direct it according to our own judgment. Joyfully we leave the painful present and the unknown future with our Father, our Savior, our Comforter. O my soul, this day lay down thy wishes at Jesus' feet. If thou hast of late been somewhat wayward and willful, eager to be and to do after thine own mind, now dismiss thy foolish self, and place the reins in the Lord's hands. Say, He shall choose. If others dispute the sovereignty of the Lord, and glory in the free will of man, do thou answer them, He shall choose for me. It is my freest choice to let Him choose. As a free agent, I elect that He should have absolute sway.
I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Teach me
Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will conclude this series of messages expounding one of the most beloved passages in the Bible, the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. The text is verse 12, "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." In this verse, Isaiah wrote of the final victory of Christ. We've seen that Christ's triumph is certain, because in the covenant of redemption, God the Father promised him that in exchange for his sacrificial death, Christ would see his seed. Then Christ's triumph was costly, for he paid the price of our redemption by his death on the cross. Finally, Christ's triumph will be complete, as he shall see his seed. That is, all for whom he shed his blood will be with him in his heavenly kingdom to share his glory. Now, with the final portion of this message, the final victory of Christ, here is Dr. Cairns.
Here is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. His triumph is certain. His triumph was costly. But I want you to notice this. His triumph is complete. In exchange for these things, he obtained the spoil. What is that spoil? What is the spoil? Well, he led captivity captive. Some people like to read that he led a multitude of captives. They're his spoil.
He defeated principalities and powers. That's his spoil. But particularly here, the spoil are his people. You see, we were held in the grip of the devil. And he came into the battle. And he won the battle. And we're his spoil. Watch it very carefully. And you'll see that this is what it's saying. It says, I will divide him a portion. You'll notice the words a portion are in italics. I will divide him. The word is, I will divide to him. I will give him a portion unto him. But what is he giving? It's in the many. The word with is in the many. What is this spoil that God has given him? It is the numerous seed of verse 10. It is the many nations of chapter 52 and verse 15. God says, I will give him in the multitudes of this world a spoil. I said last Sabbath day that I do not believe for a moment that Jesus Christ has been given a handful of people while the devil will gloat eternally over countless millions in hell and Jesus Christ is left with his tiny little minority in heaven. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. Oh, there are souls in hell, tragically. Hell is real. Hell is horrible. But I want to tell you, Jesus Christ has an innumerable seed. Jesus Christ has God's promise from eternity. If you will pour out your soul, be numbered with the transgressors, bear their sins and make intercession for them. If you will do it in exchange for this, I will give you a seed in the multitudes of the earth. You will sprinkle many nations. You will bring in the fullness of God's blessing among the countless myriads whom you'll bring to heaven. We sometimes are led astray by the truth of this present period that there are few who find the way to heaven. That's tragically true. But we ought never to lose sight of the greater purpose of God. Let me give you a quick resume of what I believe that purpose to be. First of all, I believe that we have scripture warrant in the mighty mercy of God that all the children of Adam who die in infancy are by free grace covered by the merits of the blood of Christ. They don't go to heaven because they died in innocence. They go to heaven because God covered them with the blood of the Lamb. Otherwise, they would deserve hell as the guilty seed of Adam. What a multitude that is. What a multitude. When you realize until fairly late in the last century, probably, even in Europe, the majority of children born died either just after birth or in the year that followed. You think what a multitude that is? Then you think of the coming kingdom of Christ. I'm not going to fight with you if you're post-millennial. At least you've the wit to believe in a millennium. All you need is the second blessing now to realize that it's after the Lord Jesus returns and not before him. But we'll not fight about that. If you're amillennial, well, God help you. You need your blinkers off. And I hope that you'll see that there is a fullness for Christ in this earth. Paul spoke of it in the 11th chapter of Romans. He says, in these days the Jews are a discarded people as far as the nation goes. And God setting them aside has been the blessing of the Gentiles. But there is a day coming when Israel will be regrafted into its own olive, when Israel will again be received. And this is not apart from the gospel. This is Israel coming into the fullness of the gospel. And when that happens, he says, what will that be for the Gentile nations but life from the dead? In other words, there is a day of blessing for the gospel that is coming. Personally, I believe that this is when the King himself comes. There is a day of blessing coming that will be of such fullness that will make every revival in history seem like a graveyard in comparison. Can you imagine such a fullness that Pentecost just fades into insignificance? That the Protestant Reformation, the Evangelical Awakening, the mighty movements of God's Spirit seem little in comparison? Oh, what a day when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. There is a fullness for Christ. Oh, He has a portion in the many. He has a portion in the nations. He has a portion that will bring Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, black and white, together in the mighty embrace of Calvary. It is God's purpose, Ephesians chapter 1, that He should bring together under one head all things in Christ. His triumph will be complete. Some people believe that dividing the spoil with the strong is saying He'll obtain the spoil among the strong. Spurgeon said, I was strong in sin, but He made me His spoil. We can all identify with that. There was a time when you were strong for the devil, time when you were inveterate in your sin. But sovereign grace came and claimed you and saved you. If you're in the meeting this morning as a strong sinner, or a sinner in strong chains, let me tell you of a Christ who can break the chains and save the strongest sinner, the man most inveterate in his sin. But personally, I like to take the words of Isaiah in their most literal possible way. Christ will have a spoil. He'll defeat every foe. He will have a portion in the multitudes of this world. That's why I emphasized the first with there. With the great. It is the Hebrew preposition in. It's in the many. Because the next one is with. He will divide the spoil with the strong. And that has perplexed many, many preachers and thinkers. Maybe I'm simple-minded. But I think we ought not to be too greatly perplexed. There is to me here the greatest climax to the statement of the gospel that anybody can imagine. Christ will not only have His portion as He defeats every foe, but He will divide the spoil, the conquest, the victory. He will divide it. He will apportion it among. He will share it with His people, whom He calls the strong. Weak in themselves, but strong in Christ. Strong because of union with Christ. And He says He will share His triumph with them. Do you remember what Peter said? 1 Peter 5. That we will be partakers of His glory. Is that not Christ sharing His spoil with His people? Partakers of His glory.
Then remember what the Lord Jesus himself said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. That he will give it to his people to sit with him on his throne. That is again Christ sharing his triumph with his people. And what is it saying? It is saying very simply that God's people will eternally be dealt with solely on the grounds of Christ's accomplishment. That's grace. And that's the gospel. Sinners, for all eternity, have their part in the lake that burns with fire. Sinners, for all eternity, reap the harvest of their own sin. Sinners, for all eternity, endure the wages of their own doing. The wages of sin is death. That's justice. That's justice. If you go out to meet God on the basis of naked justice, you'll perish in hell forever. But grace is that we are dealt with on the basis of what Christ accomplished. That's grace. He shares his spoil with us. All that the Lord Jesus obtained through his death, he obtained not as God unto himself, but he obtained as man for his people in union with himself. The head is united to the body, and all that the head has deserved from the hand of God is equally enjoyed by the body. Does the triumph of Christ defeat Satan? Then can we say with Paul that the God of peace will trample Satan and destroy him under your feet shortly? Does the triumph of Christ take people from the jaws of hell and put them in the assurance of heaven? Then will we in Christ never be in hell, but will enter gloriously into heaven? But better still, does the triumph of Christ raise him from the dead and bring him right to the very throne of God? By his blood he has entered into the holiest. Then thank God, by that same blood we can go to the throne of God in prayer now and in person in the days to come. Here is the full, the final, the ultimate, the glorious triumph of Jesus Christ. The cost was great. The suffering beyond anything that mortal man can ever begin to imagine. The cost was great. But thank God, the victory made it all worthwhile. I trust that the Lord will show us a triumphant Christ. I trust the Lord will enable us to live in the triumph of Christ. For it is very strange that with a triumphant Savior, Christians should so often be living in such abject spiritual poverty and defeat. Let God show us the victorious Redeemer, and we, like him, will be victorious. I finish this series of simple studies by reminding you again that for salvation you don't need willpower. You need Christ. So look to Christ. For victory over sin, you don't need willpower. That is, from yourself. You need Christ, and he will strengthen your will. Look to Christ, therefore. Get your eyes on the triumphant Redeemer. And with your eyes on him, bless God, you'll be saved, you'll be satisfied, and you will be triumphant.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.